miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Don't forget to catch us on Facebook Live as well. Dial us up. You're all on Facebook. Check it out right now.
Danny Ferry has been named the interim GM for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, when did that happen?
Just now.
Seconds ago.
Oh, good.
Breaking news! But we were playing his hippie music instead, so we couldn't do the...
It's not hippie music.
Breaking news sounder.
He's worked with the Pels in a part-time capacity, Woj says, as a consultant, but his most recent work as GM for the Atlanta Hawks was viewed league-wide as a clinic on how to reshape a roster and franchise without borrowing, bottoming out into the lottery. I was thinking of Atlanta, not Cleveland before. Yeah. He played for Cleveland, right? If I remember.
Yeah. He did. All right, so we also have a couple of Twin Peaks Twitter polls out there because the other breaking news of the day, the NFL has reached a settlement with Colin Kaepernick on collusion. We do not know what the figure is. We are guessing and we are speculating. Let's start with the Twin Peaks Twitter poll and see where we're at right now. Okay. And I can continue to stall if you need me to do
no, just give me 2 seconds.
Coming up later, we'll have our pigskin picks as well for the AAF. So stay tuned for that. All right.
At ESPN, at 99.3 ESPN Radio, two questions. First one, is Colin Kaepernick's NFL career over now? 88% say yes. Keep voting. What do you think Cap settlement was from the NFL? $20 million, $50 million, or $80 million? 44% of you think $50 million, 24% say $80, 32% say $20. I can tell you this, it's more than $20. May not be $80, but it's probably more than $50.
And again, our thinking is he has lost 2 years of income as a potential starting quarterback in the NFL and probably future earnings. So it's, you know, it's the annual salary of a lower-end starting quarterback of the NFL is $20. So that's where we started piling up the millions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be a big, fat number. Eric Reed also part of this, but again, he's playing, right? He only missed, like, what, half a season before Carolina signed him, and now he just got a 3-year extension. It seems to me his case would be more difficult to prove, but they both were ground zero for kneeling during the national anthem. So anyway, that's the big news there.
And Michael McCann, our friend from UNH and Sports Illustrated, law professor says once arbitrator Stephen Burbank denied the NFL's request for summary judgment last August, meaning Colin Kaepernick had shown a genuine issue of material fact, the NFL realized it could lose to Kaepernick if they wait for Burbank to rule a settlement is a draw and avoids a loss.
The other scorcher today, if you will, Antonio Brown meeting with Art Rooney. I initially and probably erroneously thought, maybe they're going to patch it up. You know, adults getting together, having a conversation, a little convo. Wrong. Because shortly thereafter, Antonio Brown liked a tweet. Was this a random stranger that tweeted about Ben Roethlisberger raping college girls?
Let me look up his name.
And Antonio Brown liked it. He's basically saying, why are y'all picking on me for my domestic abuse situations? Everybody treats Ben Roethlisberger like a hero. I'm surmising here. And he liked that those tweets.
So is he getting that Ben should have more criticism or he should have less criticism?
He's just saying, I'm not such a bad guy, but Ben allegedly did this. You know, I think that's what he's trying to do is deflect all the negativity towards him.
How can he ever be in the same locker room or same huddle with Ben again?
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
But you know what? You know what else this does? This also hurts his chances to go to a team like the Colts that may take a stab at him because they've got the money to do it. You know, I still think the Colts and Le'Veon Bell make sense, but they're not going to go after Antonio Brown. This is just more Antonio Brown being uncomfortable or making other people uncomfortable.
All right. The person who did this tweet at Kip, KIP underscore music. He's only got 75 followers. He's co-founder of some record company.
So it's just a random guy, and Antonio Brown saw his harsh tweets against Ben, and he liked them. Antonio Brown liked them.
He's also got a lot of he's got a lot of racial stuff on here. I'm not going to read any of it.
All right, good.
Who, but, the Music Man or AB?
This guy, Kip.
This other dude.
Underscore Music.
The guy whose Twitter he's
The Music Man, that's what I call him.
Why do you call him the Music Man?
Kip underscore Music.
Oh, I just said
Music Man.
He lost me at Kip. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Anyway, yeah, so there's that. And then, what else was I going to say? I just saw another... another part of another, I must say, another great tweet out there today by Pro Football Talk. I think it makes you, it's NFL likely paying big money to keep secret any deposition transcripts, text messages, emails, etc. that may have shown an effort by the league office to discourage teams from signing Kaepernick.
Okay.
So Tigers missed a 4-foot par putt. This guy's making me look bad.
You're making Craig look good.
So, Chris, what's his score now?
He's got to make this. He's probably got more coming back than what he just missed.
This is for a bogey?
Yeah, this is to put him back to 1-under.
And that's what did I say he'd finish today?
1-under.
I'm sorry, you muffled that. What did you say?
1-under.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Chris.
Par.
What hole?
17. Yeah. Anytime you write a 6 down, it's not a good thing.
Nailed it.
Come on, Eldrick.
That's a nice square number there.
4-3 putts?
Wow.
What are you doing, Kitty?
Wow, that's Kitty.
What are you doing?
Chris, it's just round one. This is how Tiger plays. He plays very conservatively.
Yeah, then his round three will be spectacular.
Yes,
I got it.
Yes.
I know the numbers.
Although he may be tired because his round three is going to be after a round two. He's got to do a doubleheader on Saturday.
That's normally when your third round comes.
Right.
After your second.
Right. But usually
before the fourth.
Usually you get to go to bed and rest up. He ain't going to get a chance to do that.
Now, remember, they flip him, so Tiger actually might be able to start his second round later this afternoon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Although we just had a brief little rain shower.
Yeah, that was
there.
Coming down pretty good.
For California standards, that was a good a good humdinger of a rain.
My meteorologist friends say that it should pass pretty quickly. Just a squabble.
Squall or squabble? A squabble's a fight.
Squall?
Squall.
Squall's more referred to snow.
It's like a small squalls. Fighting storm. It's
rain
called a squabble.
You don't need your meteorology friends. You got me. I got an A in meteorology at Indiana University. I know speak.
What was your final like? Did you stand in front of a big green board and just have to move your hands?
No, this wasn't meteorology TV school. This was literally meteorology. Cumulonimbus and all, all the names of the clouds.
Okay, well, I know part of it was to try to,
I did not predict weather.
Well, Charles Clay's been released by the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, I saw that. That's another great pickup.
Breaking news!
I love Charles Clay. Yeah. Always liked his game.
Everybody's going to be a Patriot.
He's going to be a Patriot.
I think,
53 roster spots.
I'm not saying
they're going to sign 54 free agents.
I'm saying he's a very serviceable tight end for a good football team.
Yes, he is. He was a Dolphin. Well aware.
Loved him there. He's a great player.
Oh, speaking of a Dolphin.
A very good player. I won't say great. Very good player.
Yeah, good player. Yeah.
I saw a couple other names come up with the Dolphin. First of all, the latest name, according to – this was one of our wire services today. Jacoby Brissett's name to the Dolphins now coming up in combos. I don't know why.
It's a little too good, I think.
Yeah, it's going to hurt your tanking situation. Yeah. And Jimmy Johnson, the football coach, not the race car driver, is going to be busy at Daytona this weekend. Jimmy Johnson, regarding the Dolphins, the team he once briefly coached, said he's not too sure about Kyler Murray, Chris. Too small. And he says, look, this guy can get you into the playoffs, or he can be hurt in the second game of the season. And
who
be
said
done.
That?
Jimmy Johnson. So he would much rather, he prefers Tua strongly.
Yeah, so do I.
Well, I think everybody does.
I know, but you're gonna get Kyler. You're not gonna get Tua.
I don't think you're getting Kyler. I think they're gonna pass on him.
He drifts past 13.
He's gonna go in the first round. And look, we all know the draft's a crap. I just think this guy is tiny. His body tiny. I can deal with the height issue. I'm not saying that. And he's gotta obviously what he's done in the Big 12. He could throw the ball. He is tiny. I'm telling you. When I saw that picture of him standing next to Russell Wilson, just girth wise, muscle wise, yes, he can. I don't know, man.
But Russell used to be that tiny. Russell used to be really tiny.
Not like that.
I don't know. I remember pretty scrawny Russell Wilson back in the day. He's been bulking up.
I hope he goes to the Dolphins just for our show's sake. It would be great.
Oh, yes. It would be fantastic. Elvis Dumervil questioning the Joe Flacco trade for his former team, the Broncos, says it's a desperate move.
Also, there's a
report. And he said, oh, by the way, he also said he's no Peyton Manning. So, anyway, what were you saying? God.
Thanks, Elvis.
Great.
Wow.
Breaking news.
Top notch.
No. Michael Galkin of the Vegas Review-Journal says the Raiders continue to talk about playing one more year in Oakland, and Coliseum Authority Executive Director Scott McKibben expressed hope that a deal could be struck for the team to play there another year. Quote, I am cautiously optimistic that I believe that we can get a deal done, McKibben
said. They're quibbling over like $7 million. They'll get it done.
McKibben said he didn't think a deal would be reached before next week, but said he planned to talk to the Raiders president, Mark Baden, about scheduling more talks. Mm-hmm.
And earlier we were talking about Antonio Brown. According to Vegas, the Cardinals are now listed as the favorites for his services. That makes no sense to me.
Plus 450, I believe, in one Vegas pool.
Yes, you are spot on, Pete.
But
Shepard.
They're talking about...
What are the Steelers at?
They were, what, 500?
Plus
500.
Not far behind.
Miami was plus 550. They were second. Miami and the 49ers.
Don't waste your money. Miami's not making that
move. 49ers
and
Miami were second.
49ers and Dolphins at plus 550. Yeah. Packers and Colts plus 700, yeah. Raiders plus 900. Odds of the Steelers, you're right, 500.
Yeah. Interesting. And the Raiders, they're talking about Tucson. Oh, I'd love to see this. Birmingham. The Birmingham Raiders.
In the AFC West.
They've got to get permission from the Birmingham Iron.
Creepy Mark Davis.
Trent Richardson.
Yeah.
They do got some pretty sweet uniforms.
Yeah. And
all black.
Trent Richardson playing for free. A matted black, too.
It's nice. It's quality.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering the listeners out there, again, today, the big story, Colin Kaepernick in the NFL, they settle. And it looks like he's going to get well over $20 million that he asked for. Again, I agree. No coincidence that this happened after his little demand yesterday to the AAF, a league that's only worth, I believe, $29 million. So he wanted to take, you know, most of their money. But what do you guys think about it? Somewhere in the $60 to $80 million range, he's going to get happy, sad, and different, or just glad it's over.
Yeah.
Well, but he's going to get it. And apparently there are a lot of people that think he had something on the NFL and it just didn't go to trial. If it went to trial, another big yoke in the face of one Roger Goodell and company at 345 Park Avenue, because it looks like they might have lost this one.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they settled.
NFL, the only reason the NFL settled, they know they would have lost this baby. That was coming down the pike.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that they just wanted it to go away.
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, Chris, I'm going to have to say no just so that you don't call me a waffler, but that's a pretty good point.
You go back and forth a lot.
That's a pretty good, not only today. That's a pretty good point because of they're just tired of trying to book a halftime act at the Super Bowl, for crying out loud, with all this circus going around, people boycotting. You couldn't get Pink this year. She refused.
LeBron hater, I'm offended. Here we go. Peach just never wants the Dolphins to be better, so he's hoping for the front office. What does that have to do with Kyle?
I highly doubt their front office listens to us.
They probably do. Most NFL teams, most teams listen to the sports radio stations. They say they don't, but they do. That has nothing to do with me. Look, I just think Kyler Murray, I don't care what team he goes to, I think he's a tiny man. That's all. But what do you... Chris in the other room wants to tank for Tua. Or Trevor Lawrence. One of those two. So, one of those two, you're obviously going to
lose for Lawrence. I'm torn.
I'm just wondering.
I'd rather lose for Lawrence.
Would Dolphin fans want to wait, tank another year?
Are you ready to tank for 3 years, or you want to get after it? You waffle on that, like, hourly.
I know.
One little glimpse of some excitement.
See, but
in the draft.
I can admit the waffling that I do.
Yeah?
I can come to grips with it. Step one, admission.
I have only waffled because I had new information, and I've only done that today. I am like an iron fist when it comes to my opinions when I come rolling in here. That's my history for the last 2 years. I am not a waffler. I will not accept the nickname of a waffler. I will not let the Texters bait me into waffling. I will not let Chris call me a waffler. I will not let Pete Shepard call me a waffler. When Craig Sheeman says something, it's fact, and I don't change.
Call you the quaffler today because your hair is... very nicely coiffed. 239 says, with the 32nd pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Patriots select Kyler Murray. I don't think he falls to 32, but it's an interesting premise if he did.
I think he's going in the first half of the first round. I do.
Look, I think he very well could end up on the Dolphins, but I don't know if that's the right. I'm torn.
You waffle so much, I'm going to call you Aunt Jemima.
You call me Aunt Jemima, I'm going to come with a spatula over there. I'm going to smack your behind with it.
Good syrup.
It is good syrup.
I'm not a maple syrup guy.
Oh, what
do you mean?
Pancakes and waffles, you don't put syrup on them?
No, just butter. Nope.
That's nope.
I've never liked that molasses type flavor or maple
that
syrup.
That is unheard
no,
of.
No, I'm not a maple syrup guy.
Wait a minute, you came from the Northeast. It's like 3 minutes away from Maine where they make syrup. Thank you for the correction.
I just like butter. I don't like powdered sugar. I don't like sweet in my breakfast.
Oh, I like sweet and savory.
Nah.
Like, you got like some sweet
savory,
syrup right next to the sausage and the bacon? No. Sign me up.
No, I like maple smoked bacon or maple sausage, yes.
Thick
but
cut.
I'm not a syrup guy on my pancakes, which
You're
I don't have a lot of.
You're not a syrup guy.
No, I'm a butter, just butter.
I didn't even know there were those types of people out there.
I didn't either. He's a freak of nature.
I don't like maple syrup.
If
breakfast.
You don't like maple syrup, that's fine.
Then don't have pancakes.
Then don't have pancakes. You nailed it.
I have pancakes with some nice melted butter on it.
You're
that's
banned.
How I like it.
You're banned from eating pancakes.
I'm not banned from the store.
You're banned from eating waffles.
No, I'm not banned from the store or French toast or waffles.
God made pancakes and waffles to have syrup on them.
I'm not a commie 239.
The only purpose for syrup is pancakes.
Exactly.
I don't really like the taste of maple syrup. It's too sugary sweet for me. Even sugar-free maple syrup, not a fan. Just my own personal preference. Doesn't mean
that's because you're a sour person who
doesn't
like sweet food.
So if you like savory food, does that mean you're a savory person?
I love savory food. I don't like sweet with my breakfast.
So why
a maple glaze on ribs or anything like that? And meats, that's
so
fine.
So why order a pancake?
Because I like it with butter.
But it's just dry bread getting caught in the back of your throat at that point.
You need some maple syrup to slide it down.
Then
you're eating some bad pancakes.
Have some toast at that point.
Yeah, go toast.
That too.
Toast with butter's fine.
Yep.
That's acceptable. You don't put jelly on your toast because it's sweet?
Not a lot. Occasionally.
I like
not
a good
a
marmalade or a good grape or jelly
like
or strawberry.
Grape.
I'm all the above.
I will occasionally put a little bit of jelly on my toast. I don't like sweet with breakfast.
What kind of jelly? I'm very specific about my jelly. Don't bring me grape jelly.
See, I like Welch's grape, if I have my choice.
Grape jelly's for three-year-olds, dude.
I'm not overly fussy about my jellies.
Strawberry.
I like strawberry.
Number one.
Yeah. I like a good marmalade.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mix it up a little bit.
What's wrong with grape?
It's for three-year-olds.
You just said you don't like sweet. Grape is the sweetest of the jellies.
I used to put peanut butter on my French toast. Delicious.
It would be delicious. I have no problem with that. But your basic needs to be your go-to maple syrup.
I don't like it.
Warm.
I don't like.
Bring me room temp syrup.
I don't like maple syrup with breakfast. I like it on ribs. I like it on any type of meat, bacon, sausage, whatever. You know, cooking it down and making a sauce. I don't like maple syrup on my pancakes, French toast, or waffles. That's just me. And I've been that way since I was a little kid.
Can I ask a question? Of you and the audience. We've had probably three major lead stories today that can fill an entire show on their own, and we've jammed them all three together. And you people on the text line and the phone callers want to talk about syrup and Pete. All right.
Well, I'm sorry, but when Pete goes out and says, I don't like maple syrup, never heard those words uttered.
Never. Never on earth.
Young man, I'm not alone.
No.
I am not on an island alone.
There are 6 billion people on this earth. There have probably been 20 billion people born to this earth in the history of time. Not one person has ever said, nah, I don't like maple syrup until Pete Shepard.
I don't like maple syrup with breakfast. I like maple flavored on ribs. Like I said, sausage, bacon.
What kind of looks do you get at the restaurant when they say, do you need some syrup? And you say no.
Well, they bring it automatically. Sometimes I get that just butter and I say yes. And I always tell them, do not sprinkle powdered sugar on any of that stuff. I don't like it. It's too sweet. I don't like it.
Pete's first girlfriend clearly left him for a Canadian.
No, she left me for another friend of mine when I was 13 because I wouldn't make out with her and I was scared.
Wow.
I got a good story
about that.
It's a
very bad feeling.
Let's go to the phones.
Still hurts.
Chris, don't forget your story.
We got picks coming up next.
Yes, we do. Scott in Fort Myers, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys, that was funnier than anything I'm going to come up with. But I was going to say, Pete, no maple syrup on pancakes. Why don't you just spit on the flag of America?
Oh, come on, Scott. No, it's, I like maple syrup. I don't like it on my breakfast. That's all.
239 says this coming from the guy who eats corn for the Super Bowl.
No, I said, once again, Mexican corn and on the husk made properly is delicious. And we had texters. We had Facebook people with their families who did it.
Person.
No. A father of three. And a lot more. Craig has no game. Pete ate syrup and kisses his... Oh, come on. And Craig has no game.
Hey, Rose's in bedroom guy checked in. Says next Pete's going to say he doesn't like bacon.
No. Look, I just... No, 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 please. Bacon. I told you. I put bacon on ice cream. See, now that... You get like a Ben and Jerry's type of maple whatever ice cream and throw some bacon bits on top. That is delicious. Now, that I can deal with. But I know that's a dessert. I don't like maple syrup for breakfast. I don't like a lot of sweet anything sweet for breakfast.
I'm not putting bacon on my ice cream.
The overlay here is so strange.
I know.
You don't understand. The bacon maple flavor is a big flavor, and it's a flavor in ice cream, and a lot of people make it that way.
I know. I just listen.
You wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't even know it.
I am the ice cream connoisseur.
I do not eat pineapple on pizza, 239. Now, that is the most offensive thing ever, and I don't know why
Guilty.
So many people do that.
I love it. I like ridiculous.
A good Hawaiian pizza.
Good Hawaiian pizza, nothing wrong
God,
with that.
That's awful.
Listen, I'm the
Take
ice cream.
Take the pineapple off.
I am. I am the ice cream expert of this show.
Put spam on the pizza too. That's a good combination.
Chris is the drinking expert, and Pete, you're the gambling expert. Ice cream is my wheelhouse, and you don't put bacon in ice cream.
You're wrong.
Fact.
You are wrong. Fact. Go get some gourmet places. It's probably if I gave you a maple bacon ice cream, you would love it. You wouldn't even know it.
I'd probably eat it though.
You would blithely go, "Oh my God!"
Speaking of bacon,
begrudgingly eat it.
Pigskin picks are next. Sheeman and Shepherd. That's next hour, Pete. Don't worry. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Also, check us out on Facebook Live. Follow me on Twitter at Craig ESPN. Follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. Coming up in just a second, we'll have our pigskin picks. Just to recap a conversation with Pete dropping a bomb on us at the end of the last segment, saying that he does not like maple syrup on anything.
No, for breakfast, I don't like maple syrup. I love maple glaze on anything but my breakfast stuff. Ribs, dogs even, bacon, pork of any kind. I don't like it on my pancakes. I don't like it on my French toast. I don't like it on my waffle.
I don't like green eggs and ham, nope. Sam, I am. 317 says there's nothing more American than maple syrup on a pancake, Pete. Live it.
I don't care for it on my pancakes.
239 asks, do you not like Krispy Kreme hot and ready as well? I mean, you don't like awesome things here. No.
I said for breakfast, a maple donut. Yes, that's different. That's not the same.
All right. 239 says, try the maple bacon milkshake at a burger place here.
There you go.
All right. All right. With all that said, ladies and gentlemen, we just kind of did this on a ruse last week, and it became a huge hit. You know, on Fridays, we do our pigskin picks for the NFL, and, of course, last weekend was the debut of the Alliance of American Football, the AAF, so we decided to do pigskin picks there. And it was a lot of fun, and our listeners loved it, so we're going to do it again. Let's strike up the band, shall we?
Yeah.
All right, it is week two of the existence of the AAF. I, Craig, am dominating already. Pigskin picks with you guys is just too easy. I am 4-0. I nailed it. A league that nobody knew anything about. Pete, a woeful start at 1-3. Chris, a very respectable 3-1 after just spending the season in the toilet during the National Football League. He's bouncing back with the spring.
I'm like Tiger.
How are you like Tiger?
I start slow, but I'll be there in the end.
All right. So our first pick, Salt Lake taking on Birmingham. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Birmingham threw a shutout last week. Their defense
26 spit.
How about that? Birmingham, an 8-point favorite at home. Well, listen, they showed me the D. They're also taking on Salt Lake, which I believe is my version of the Detroit Lions based on their silver and blue helmets. So you know that's a loss on the road. I'm squarely taking Birmingham for this one. Your turn, Pete.
I am not taking Birmingham on this one. Last week was a fluke. Salt Lake, like most NFL teams, will rebound. Birmingham is overconfident already in week two. I'm taking the points with Salt Lake. Plus 8.
Chris?
I'm going to tell you why you're wrong, Craig. Okay, that game between Birmingham and Memphis said a lot more about Memphis than it did about Birmingham. Birmingham didn't have high expectations going into this season. And Trent Richardson, I don't believe he can continue to keep up this pace. Now, Birmingham might win this game, but the line is 8. That's an important number. I think that they're going to keep it within a touchdown. The Stallions are yet to play a home game. Kind of interesting, isn't it?
It is. And unfair.
They go into the state of Alabama, and they walk out with a 4-point loss.
Wow. All right. There we go. Our next game on the big board. This is the team we forced Chris to adopt.
Love it.
Because the nickname kind of fits his personality. The Arizona Hotshots. He bought some paraphernalia this week. Paid extra for it to arrive on time. Didn't let his wife know.
$4.
Arizona is a 12.5-point favorite on the road, taking on Memphis. By the way, you can catch this on the NFL Network. This is Saturday at 8 o'clock. I should mention the Salt Lake-Birmingham game is on at 2 o'clock on TNT. These are Saturday games.
Yep.
Again, I'm doing the math. I saw Arizona and the Hotshots light it up for 38 points last week. Memphis, when they score for the first time, it'll be for the first time this season. Still the goose egg. I'm taking Arizona to easily cover the 12.5 on the road. They are going to roll into Memphis, and they are going to own it. Taking the hot shots.
Right, sir. Correct. I will also take Arizona minus 12.5. Did not like anything I saw from Memphis last week. Don't think playing at home is going to solve that. Early on, Arizona, strong. Minus 12.5. They get it done.
Remember the connection, everybody. John Wolford to Rashad Ross. Ross had 103 receiving yards last week and 2 touchdowns. 1 touchdown he went up. He mossed the Salt Lake City defender. Like I said about the last game, that Memphis-Birmingham game from last week, it showed me a lot more about Memphis than it did Birmingham. I think Memphis is the worst team in the league, and it's not very close here. Arizona, my team... Very important there. My team goes on the road, walks out with a big victory by 20 points.
All right.
Clean sweep there for the hot shots.
We are halfway home here. The 2 Saturday games are in the books. Let's move on to Sunday. The Orlando Apollos and Coach Steve Spurrier impressive against Atlanta last week. At home, now they hit the road. And they have to go to San Antonio to take on the Commanders. Orlando is 6.5-point favorite on the road. Very interesting. By the way, I believe San Antonio beat San Diego 15-6. A bit of a grinder of a game. You know what? I think Orlando's going to do it. I think they're going on the road. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to cover. Give me the Apollos.
Remember the Alamo. Not this time. Sorry. I love San Antonio, one of my favorite cities in all of Texas. I am not going against my team, the Orlando Apollos, the most awesome nickname in the AAF. It's not even remotely close. Minus 6.5. Phooey. Could be 18. Apollos. Cream. San Antonio. Easily cover the 6.5. Steve Spurrier, all the way. They may not lose.
Chris?
I'm not going to go that far just because it's a really deep 8-team league if you can have such a thing. But what I will say is Orlando got better as the game went on last weekend. You could tell Spurrier might have been a little rusty with play calling, but by the second half, he was back to the old ball coach. Airing it out. And San Antonio won last week, but they scored, what, 15 points, 16 points?
Yeah.
Didn't score a lot. I think Orlando has the firepower to go into San Antonio and cover the 6.5. Another clean sweep on the board.
This game will be on the CBS Sports Network at 4 o'clock. Now, Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Prime time. Prime time. On the NFL Network, 8 p.m. Eastern, Atlanta, traveling all the way to San Diego, everybody. Keep it classy, San Diego. San Diego and the Fleet, 9.5-point favorites in this game. Look, San Diego looked all right last week. Atlanta did not get its act together against Steve Spurrier's defense. Forget about how Steve Spurrier's offense did. I don't think Atlanta's very good. You said you think Memphis is the worst team in the league? I think Atlanta's the second worst team in this league and hitting the road. I'm taking the Fleet, San Diego. They will cover the 9.5 here.
I agree. For many of the reasons you just said, Atlanta sucks right now. After week one, I'm writing them off. San Diego, 9.5. Easily gets this done after what I have seen so far. I'm going to go 4-0.
I'm going to go oppo you guys right here. Not because I think Atlanta's a good team. I think San Diego is bad as well. Both teams only scoring 6 points last week. I don't know if San Diego's got enough offense to put 10 points on the board. So how the hell are they going to cover 9.5? This is an elimination process for me. And I'm going to go with Atlanta to lose the game, but keep it within a possession.
There you have it. Our Pigskin Picks Week 2 of the AAF. Again, this is a pleasant surprise for us and a nice addition to the show. 317, hey guys, love the show. Sitting at a stoplight with three other cars around me listening to you. We all have the show on. Keep up the great work. I love hearing that, as a matter of fact.
Fantastic.
All right, very good. All right, any final thoughts? Here's the deal. I wanted to see how the ratings were going to be for this, but we're not going to be able to compare apples to apples. They had themselves a game on the CBS network. Now we're CBS Sports Network, we're NFL Network, we're TNT.
I think the best shot to get a high rating this weekend is the TNT Saturday night game. It's going to go right into the Saturday night All-Star festivities for the NBA. So you might get some NBA fans who catch the back half of that game.
Okay. Very good. We'll see how it does for sure. Coming up, we're going to invite Phil Castagnetti on the program. This is going to tie into an event you're going to be at Saturday or Sunday.
Sports
Sunday.
World USA. He is one of the best memorabilia guys in the country of all sports and all teams, and he's a great appraiser as well. We're going to have a lot of fun on Sunday.
All right, that's coming up next. Stay with us. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. And the 99.3 ESPN app. Also check us out on Facebook Live as well. All right, Pete, coming up this weekend, you're going to be at the Foxborough Sports Tavern. You've been there before. You've
Many
raved
times.
About it. You're there Sunday from 2 to 5. And also, Phil Castagnetti is going to be there. And he is a sports memorabilia guy from Sports World USA. And he happens to be with us right now. This ought to be an interesting conversation. Phil, welcome to the program.
Hey, Phil.
Thanks for having me, guys. Hey, Pete.
Man, this is going to be, first of all, introduce yourself to our audience, and you've been doing this a long time. You are well-known, not throughout just New England, but throughout the country for what you do and the great, incredible sports collectibles that you have, but this is more than just coming down and getting autographed pictures, right? There's a lot more to that coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we've done it before, Pete, a few times, and, you know, we meet a lot of the people, if they have memorabilia they want appraised, or they're looking to sell stuff, and, we'll give them a price and, buy items and appraise their items, whatever memorabilia, other than sports also, movie actors and, TV people, Hollywood stuff, whatever. We do it all, and we should have a good time there on Sunday.
Phil, I'm sure at some point something spurred your interest in this line of work or a hobby, if you will. What was the first piece of memorabilia you can remember getting as a kid?
Wow. You know what? I've always been a New York Yankee collector since I was a little kid. And my father took me to Mickey Mantle Day in 1969, and, you know, I still have the ticket stub and the program, and that's pretty much how it started.
No, that's it, yeah, and it's just grown and grown. And let's full disclosure, right? You're a Yankee fan, right?
Yeah.
I am a Yankee fan, yep, a Yankee fan in Boston.
Good luck with it. I just saw that somebody bought a Babe Ruth card by accident for $2 the other day.
I saw that. Wasn't that crazy? It's been probably worth a few million.
Wow.
Is it still Hoarding's card still is it, for baseball collectibles anyway? Is that still at the top of the list if you can get it? I mean, the rare Hoarding cards?
Yeah. You know what it is now? Everything has to be, you know, in great, anything in good condition, you know, near pristine condition has just gone through the roof. The numbers right now are just remarkable. Mickey Mantle rookie just sold for $3 million, and they're expecting that to rise because it just, you know, you just can't find cards that nice of condition back in the day that, you know, that are still out there, but, you know, they're somewhere.
So when people come, so say someone comes by tomorrow with a Dan Marino autographed Miami Dolphins shirt or whatever. So, what's the process? How do you go about, you know, evaluating that, you and your staff?
Well, first of all, we have to, you know, check out the autograph, sure. Make sure it's real. We have, you know, we work hand-in-hand with some of the big authentication companies, and we can, you know, send pictures through the phone, and they'll give us their opinion, my opinion, you know, and we figure it all out together. And then we go from there. We'll figure out, you know, what kind of jersey is it, you know, an authentic, is it a replica? You know, there's lots of little things to it, so we'll figure it all out.
Phil, when I was a kid, I collected baseball cards, and I knew at an early age that those things would be worth something. And I remember I always would ask my relatives, aunts, uncles, anybody, hey, you got anything in the attic, anything up there, you know, the Mickey Mantles or from that era? Because when I collected probably from, you know, 77 to 1990, Topps baseball, that's where I was at. Is there a needle in a haystack in that era that I should probably have sitting in my attic that I've moved 8 times that maybe they might be worth something in that era?
You know, in all those moves, it might have been better if you left them behind. You know, between the overproduction and the steroid era, you know, there's pretty much nothing. There's a couple guys. I shouldn't say nothing, but, you know, like 79 has the Ozzie Smith rookie, you know, 1980s Ricky Henderson. But, you know, the 89 Upper Deck Griffey was the only really decent card of the 80s. And even that's gone way down.
Well, you mentioned Ozzie Smith. A lot of people just associated with the Cardinals. But the greatest play I've ever seen in my lifetime, I still say, is when he played for the Padres and made that incredible barehanded snag diving stop. We've seen it a bunch of times and throughout the runner at first base. But an Ozzie Smith rookie card in a Padre uniform, that's got to be still worth some bucks, doesn't it, if it's in good condition?
A nice one sells for a little over $100. Again, you know, it's all condition, and, you know, you got to just, you know, it's got to be perfectly scented. The corner's got to be nice, you know, and then from there on, it just, you know, it's crazy because they send cards away to be graded now, and they put them, they encapsulate them in plastic, grade them 1 through 10, and it's almost impossible to get a 10. So a card like an Ozzie Smith, that, you know, by looking at it with your eyes, $100, if you get a graded 10, it might be worth $7,000-$8,000. So,
wow.
You know,
it's a big jump.
We spend a lot of time here talking about baseball cards. That's where it all starts for a lot of people. I also collected football and basketball cards. I remember the NBA. I don't know if there was a paper shortage. They used to do like 3 cards in 1 and perforated them. And then one year they did extra large cards as well. But any football and or NBA cards from back in the day that are not quite the holy grail that Onis Wagner is, but something that the collectors might look for.
Well, you know, that perforated set, the 80-81 Tops, they came up with that crazy design, but it's also Magic Johnson and Larry Bird's rookie card.
Right.
And they're they're together on the same card with Julius Erving. So that's one of the better cards of the 80s and of, you know, of basketball. So that's the big one.
Yeah.
Well, I know you know.
Those sports don't have, you know, the same pop that baseball does.
What's the hot item, you know, right now? I mean, the Patriots in the Super Bowl, the Red Sox in the World Series, obviously. It's the fact that the teams that are winning are the ones that the autographs that people want the most. But, you know, let's say the last 6 months, what's requested most from you?
Tom Brady. Yeah. His cards are just they're high already, and they just skyrocketed him. And, you know, there's no end in sight. I mean, he's doing things you're never going to see again. And, I mean, his cards are, you know, just on fire right now.
Any value to a Colin Kaepernick signed jersey? we learned today that he'll probably never play again, reached a settlement with the NFL. What's the value there?
And I think we could have figured that out a few months ago ourselves, but he never really had a big value because he was never that good.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, you know, they got all this hype about Colin Kaepernick, but, you know, he never panned out to start, so that's not going to do anything.
Phil, before, because we're up against you, but Tom Popola, the owner of Fox Sports Sports Tavern, you guys have been friends for a long, long time. I love him. He's quite the character, and Larry Genta also, real good guys. Glad to be in partnership with them. But tell me a good Tom story that I can get him with on Sunday that he made, you know, just between us.
I can't say it on the radio. I'll tell you when I see you.
All right, sounds good.
Well, that sounds good. I know Phil, Pete's looking forward to that event, as are our listeners as well. Phil, thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it.
You're welcome anytime.
All right, thanks, Phil.
Phil Castagnetti from Sports World USA, Sports Memorabilia. He'll be out at the Foxborough Sports Tavern with you Sunday from 2 to 5. And
and just if you're unsure of something, if you got, because a lot of people have autographs, so they go, you know, right. I'm telling you, he is the best at it. He'll evaluate it, tell you if it's worth anything, if anything, or tell you just garbage and you got ripped off, that kind of thing. But he is real good. He's real fair. And the stuff that he's going to have down there, no matter what sport it is, from auto racing to football, hockey, basketball, baseball, he'll have something might be interested in, so come on down.
All right, coming up, headlines of the day. We'll wrap it up. We'll get you into your three-day. We're having a three-day weekend, by the way. We won't be back
until
Tuesday.
Just I'm not playing golf this weekend.
Hopefully you all have a three-day weekend, too, President's Day weekend. Ashima to Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.